Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 10 of the Perfect Bracket College Basketball Podcast. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at @OnePerfectBracket. That's the number one, @OnePerfectBracket. It's going to be a pretty quick episode. I was looking, you know, looking through KenPom like I tend to do, and I was curious as to whether I could find any predictive factor in terms of looking at teams, the bench minutes of teams, what proportion of bench minutes they play. I wanted to see if teams that have a play have a higher amount of bench minutes. Basically, the question is, how much do the teams just play their starters, and how many of the team's minutes are played by guys that are coming off the bench? I wanted to look to see if I could figure out, are teams that have more bench minutes, are they performing better or worse, or perhaps equal to teams in the NCAA tournament, compared to teams in the NCAA tournament that play not very many bench minutes at all, that rely on mainly just their starters? And just as a hypothesis going into this, you know, I didn't have very high expectations in terms of what I would find. Based on just kind of scanning a little bit, I thought perhaps on first glance that some teams that did not have it, that were lower in terms of bench minutes, that didn't play on bench guys as much, seemed to be, look like they were actually performing better in the tournament than teams that used a lot of bench minutes. But I dove into that. And in terms of why, I thought, well, perhaps, you know, basically, it's kind of the thought in NBA basketball as well that, you know, once you hit the playoffs or the tournament, you might rely more on your starters than you would in the regular season when it's a long grind of a season. But when the playoffs hit, you might, you know, want to have your best guys on the floor, so you might rely more on your starters. And I thought, if that's going to be the style of play, maybe that would benefit teams that kind of played a style that involved less bench minutes throughout the season. So that's kind of my hypothesis. And when I dove into it, you know, I looked at all the games they could dating back to 2002. And the way I evaluated it was basically just looking at how many games teams had won based relative to their seed expectations. How many games that like average relative to how many games the average one seed has won in the NCAA tournament and so on. And kind of like the quick synopsis is basically that my hypothesis was, you know, correct in the sense that teams that had less bench minutes performed better in the NCAA tournament than teams that had high proportion of their minutes from guys coming off the bench. And teams that had low bench minutes teams, which I defined as teams that had less than or equal to 25% of their minutes as bench minutes, they actually outperformed their seed expectation. Whereas high bench minute teams, which I defined as teams that had greater than or equal to 35% of their bench minutes consisting of bench minutes, those teams actually slightly underperformed relative to their seed expectations. So, you know, this is the type of thing that I don't want to, this would be not very high on the list in terms of what I used in terms of making picks come March, but it's something that I want to have in the back of my mind and monitor moving forward. And we'll see what happens. And if everything else is equal, perhaps I would take the team with less that relied less on bench minutes come March. But we'll see. I just thought that was an interesting thing for me to dive into. And next, the site of Bartorvik.com, it's BARTTORVIK.com, which is a really good college basketball analytics site that I just discovered this year. They had a really interesting breakdown that you could filter a lot of different ways that's worth checking out. But the thing I focused on was there was something that filtered down how individual coaches have performed in the NCAA tournament relative to expectations. I think they based it off of both KenPom and seed expectations. So it's not just about how many championships your team, like the coaches' teams have won, but it's how, going back, you could filter it from the years as far as you wanted, but I filtered it from 2002 to 2018. It ranked the coaches in terms of how they performed in the NCAA tournament relative to expectations based on both their KenPom ranking and their seed ranking. And sample size wasn't a huge factor, so a coach could rank relatively highly if they just had a few tournament runs and performed really well. But that's besides the point, really. So interestingly, some of the top coaches in this category were number one, Roy Williams, number two, John Calipari, number three, John Beilein, number four, Jim Boeheim, five, Jim Calhoun, six, Tom Izzo, seven, Brad Stevens, and so on from there. It's really interesting to consider because obviously coaching is a very important factor in the NCAA tournament. It's obviously, you know, there's some randomness involved. Like the players play the games, the players are the ones that dictate the outcomes. But it is possible that some coaches are better coaches, and some coaches, therefore, are perhaps better tournament coaches, and also will have a better chance of outperforming expectations in the NCAA tournament. I think that's something that a lot is often discussed, but it was interesting to have it actually quantified here. You know, so it's good to know, even though North Carolina came up short last season, perhaps the fact that Roy Williams comes in number one in this category is a reason to kind of maybe trust North Carolina a little bit more in the tournament than you normally would. That goes along with the other guys I mentioned. And this goes through all the coaches, so it's interesting to look at, but I thought just for the sake of time, I would just go to the other end of the spectrum, the coaches at the bottom of the rankings. Scrolling down. Okay, so here we go. So actually last in the rankings was Tony Bennett from Virginia. And obviously this is a lot of this is weighted due to the fact that Virginia obviously lost as a one seed last season. But even outside of that, Virginia has had some somewhat disappointing tournament runs over the past, you know, 5 to 7 years as well. So it's not just wholly based on that. Some other coaches that are low that of note, Mike Krzyzewski from Duke, which might seem initially surprising because Duke over in this time span has actually won two national championships, which would really help, obviously, help his ranking, which it would obviously contribute positively to that. But overall, Duke has often, you know, underperformed in the NCAA tournament, which is why Mike Krzyzewski ranks fairly low in this metric. Jamie Dixon was second to last, and for the record, Coach K was roughly seventh to last in this metric. Bob Huggins comes in 324th, roughly 12th to last. His West Virginia teams are always good, always competitive, and it's interesting to know that, you know, historically his teams have underperformed the tournament. And that's something that, you know, won't necessarily carry over year to year, but there could be a certain level of predictive factor that you could use moving forward in terms of the tournament. I mean, making your bracket predictions this year. So I thought that was interesting to share, and it's something I'm definitely going to monitor. It's something I just recently discovered. And yeah, so that's the podcast, and I'm excited for the season, and you can follow the podcast on Twitter at @OnePerfectBracket, and I'm looking forward to the season and making some more episodes. Take care.